Blog Talk Radio.
To the Healing Light Show, and tonight we're going to be talking about what is the law to the Christians. I mean, what does the law of God or the Ten Commandments mean to us, and how should we follow them, or should we follow the law? And that's one of the biggest things that I hear in the Christian circle right now. There's a lot of guys and a lot of teachers that talk, you know, we're not going by the law no more, you know, it's all good. You can live any lifestyle you want to because you're covered with grace, and you can just fall and live in sin and roll around in your sin. But, you know, it's still good because God's covering you on that. So I really believe the Word of God says a lot of different things. And Shane Stevens is going to be on here in a little bit. He's still putting his daughter to sleep right now, so he will be on here in a minute. But, yeah, it's a great topic, and we got to understand all the way back in the Old Testament about Moses and how he parted the sea, and he brought the Israelites out of Egypt, and he's bringing them to the promised land. And he went up on the hill, and he spoke to the Father, and the Lord quite often on the hill, and every time he came back, you know, he saw that the Israelites was falling in sin. So the very last time that he went up there and spoke to the Father, and he wrote down, I think it was more than 10 commandments, but when he went down to the bottom of the hill after he'd been talking to the Father for so long, he saw that they made a golden calf, and they actually, they actually was worshiping a golden calf because they couldn't see God, so they made a God. And then they started doing a lot of sinful things, and a lot of these things and the disobedience of the Israelites is one of the reasons why God gave them the law, because the law showed them how far away they were from God. It was impossible for them to be as perfect as God was. You had to be that holy and that perfect to be able to stand in the presence of God. So these Ten Commandments shows you what you are. It reflects your sins back to you. It shows you who you are. And the Israelites got stuck in this trap when they got into a point with God. They was disobedient to God. God fed them manna, which is, you know, sliced bread every morning. He had them fed very, very good out in the deserts. I mean, when they needed something, you know, God provided them for all their needs, water, food, everything. He provided for them. But they got bored with that over a period of time, and the miracles become common. Now, that's why it's very important for us as Christians, don't let these miracles become common. It's just something common that happens. And after a while, the miracle ain't a miracle anymore. It's just a phenomenon that happens ever so often, and we just get bored with it, and it's not, you know, it don't really pull us to God anymore. And there's a lot of people that walks out here and walks in the power of God that happens. It's so common that it doesn't faze them anymore. They expect it. And, you know, it's good to expect things, but it's good for it to be, you know, surprising to you and pull your heart to the Lord. But anyway, it just wasn't that pulling to God anymore. They was taking advantage of God, and then they started complaining, and then they started finding other gods, and then they started worshiping that. Then God, you know, gave them the law to show them how they were. And actually, the law actually shows you how you can fall into sin, how you can even destroy yourself by going against this law. So it's just so many things that God gave them. But if they would stay obedient, I really believe if they stayed obedient to God and really loved God and didn't try to find other gods, and they just stayed with God and trust in everything he did and was very humble with him, I really believe a lot of this stuff wouldn't have been put on them. But since they went away from God and they would not listen to Moses, and it just went on and on and on, that I really believe that they made it to the promised land a lot sooner. I really believe they made it to the promised land a lot sooner. And I really believe that they wouldn't have these Ten Commandments. But unfortunately, that's what happened. And God had to keep his chosen people holy because they had to birth the Messiah. So a lot of this came into birthing the Messiah. They had to birth the Messiah. And they had to be holy. They had to have all these rules to keep the blood pure, keep the blood where it needed to be, where Jesus could be born. So a lot of this law shows us, you know, that it's important to be holy. It's important to love God. And, you know, all through the scriptures, the Lord talks about this. You know, Jesus says in the scriptures, he says, you know, if you love me, obey my word, obey what I say. So it's not only you can go and do all these things that Jesus said, but if you obey his law and you keep his law, that shows that you love him. It's just like your mom and dad. If you listen and to obey your mom and dad when you was growing up, they know that you love them because you obeyed and listened to them. But if you would pay no attention to them and you went astray, that shows that you had no love for them. You had no respect for them. So the law really shows your respect towards the Father. If you can go and do whatever as you will and don't really have much respect for the Father, you know, it really shows that you really don't love him. You're just taking advantage of him, and that's not very good. But, you know, there's a lot of things here in the Word that talks about this, and I'm just going to go right into Romans 3, and I'm going to start right there. It says, what advantage then has the Jews, or what is the profit of circumcising? They circumcised the Jews quite often to show that they was holy and that they was pure. So that's where the circumcision is going. And this is where he's going with this. It says, much in every way, clapty because them were committed the oracle of God. For what if some did not believe, will their unbelief make them faithful of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unjust, who inflicts wrath? I speak as a man. Certainly not. For then how will God judge the world? For if the truth of God has increased through the lie to his glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? And why not say, let us do evil that God, that good may come, as we are slanderously reported, and as some affair that we say their condemnance and just. Okay, then it goes, what then, are we better than they? Not at all, for we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all unclean and sinful. As it is written, there is none righteous, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together became unprofitable. There is none who does not know, not one. Their throats is like an open tomb, and their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of the Asaps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through the faith in Jesus Christ to all. So this is saying, you know, this part here is actually saying that there is nobody, it could be perfect. Nobody could be righteous by the law. It would always show you how bad you are, all the awful things that you have done. It always showed you that. It goes on to say, even the righteous of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and in all who speak, believe, there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, because justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a portion by his blood through the faith, and the demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearing God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate that the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So this is saying that Jesus had to demonstrate walking out the law. He had to demonstrate walking that perfect life, no matter how many times that the sin was showed into his face. He had to walk out this truth and this this, I'll say law-abiding life. He had to abide by the law. He had to do this. He had to walk out his faith. He had to walk out what God sent. There was no man, as it was saying up there, there's no man that was righteous, not one, not even one. And if one would say that, you know, the person would be lying. So where is the boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? Not by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since there is one God who will justify circumcised by faith and uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. Only contrary, we establish the law. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Okay, let's read this again. The scripture says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So it ain't saying that Abraham did all these perfect things, but since he believed in God and he had great faith, God counted as righteousness because he obeyed and he trusted God. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but a debt. Okay, but a debt. So I was going to ask Shane. Shane, what do you think about this?
Well, I just caught the last 10 minutes of it. but I've been reading Romans today since we've been talking about this. And so I didn't hear the whole part of what you were just saying.
Okay.
Sorry, there.
Let me re-ask this. It says, for what does the scripture say? It says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. So this was saying that Abraham, he didn't do all the perfect things, and we know that Abraham didn't really do all the perfect things. He made mistakes here and there, but he believed God. Then God counted that as righteousness for his faith in him. What does that mean?
That just your belief in God counts as your... It counts as your faith and gives you righteousness, and you know there's nothing that you can do to deserve God's grace. Like no work that you can be doing.
Correct. Yeah, correct. There's it says there are not counted as grace but as debt when we're working and we're in waging and we're trying to work our way up. It's just debt that you're trying to pay. But as we know through Jesus Christ, there is no debt. God, you know, he canceled all the debt. But as through faith, that really counts a lot. So we're going to go ahead and I'm going to go over to 7. Shane, you can go there too. It's Romans 7. And
okay.
You have that, man?
I'm looking at it now.
Okay, start there at Romans 7, man.
All right. Now, dear brothers and sisters, you who are familiar with the law, you don't know that the law applies only while a person is living. For example, when a woman marries, the law binds her to her husband as long as he is alive. But if he dies, the law of marriage no longer applies to her. So while her husband is alive, she would be committing adultery if she married another man. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law and does not commit adultery when she remarries.
Correct.
Continue.
Correct. Yeah, let's stop right there. Okay. Now this is saying is, you know, right when a lady would marry, when a lady would marry her husband, and she's under the law of marriage, that she does not supposed to touch another man. She's supposed to be, you know, fully faithful to her husband, and she's supposed to, you know, be obedient to her husband as well as she is to God. But if he passes away, it breaks that covenant that she has with him. That covenant is broke, because a marriage only lasts as long as your life here on earth. So it breaks that covenant, and then she's released from that law, and she's free to find another husband, to date, whatever. It releases her from that law. So I'm going to start right there. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members and to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having dead to what we were held by, so that we should serve in newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, we would not have known sin except through the law. For what would not have known the covetousness unless the law had said, "You shall not covenant"? But the sins taking opportunity by the commandments produces in me all manner of evil desires. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law. But when the commandments came, sin was revealed, and I died. And the commandments, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occurrence by the commandments, deceived me by it, killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandments holy and just and good. As then, what is good become death to me? Certainly not, but sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good. So that sin through condemnment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do and not practice. What I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that there is my flesh, nothing good dwells, for I will is presence with me. But now to perform what is good, he can't find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will do to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I do not to do, it's on the do there, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So the sin that dwells in him is what's doing a lot of this. And it's kind of unique because it dwells in a lot of stuff here. I mean, it really opens up the doors to a lot of stuff. Like, you know, you actually know that you're holy now under God. Your spirit man is actually sanctified and holy. But The law shows you what is not holy in you. Now, let's say if there's something in you that's not holy, what do we name that? What do we say that is? We say it's carnal, it's flesh, it's our mind, it's whatever it is. But if you take that carnal and that flesh away, your mind is not going to be perverted to walk in carnal and walk in sin. Say when the demonic or when the enemy is attacking us, we never did know what it was. We didn't know that it was an enemy against God. We didn't know that it was something attacking us. We didn't know. We thought it was us. You know? We just thought it was us. Right. We just thought it was it's just our minds telling us, hey, you need to do this. You know, hey, that's funny or whatever. We didn't really know what was causing this because what was causing this was not of God. So when Jesus came in, part us, got us out of debt, and then only thing and the attraction to sin disappeared, but we still had sin in our life. That sin in our life, as we know, we've been sanctified through Jesus Christ. That attraction is not there to sin no more. But if the sin's still there, that's not of God. That is not of what the new man was. So there's something spiritual. There's something there that something's holding on to us, or is something that we have not let go through our mental thinking that we've just not let go. So basically what the law does, way I see that, is that the law shows you what is not of God in your being. Without the law, you would never know that you had mistakes or you had faults. So the law would show you how to check yourself. Hey, I'm thinking these bad thoughts. You know, there's things going on within my body. There's things going on within my thoughts. That is not me. That is not of God. That is not holy, because the Ten Commandments tells me everything that is right and what is holy. And this is what's going on in my life right now is not holy and it is actually not of God. So I need to check myself. I need to get into the Word. I need to, maybe go through a deliverance. I need something to clear myself up, become a better Christian. The law shows you when you're falling off a track. Not saying that you have that addiction to that. Now, if you have addiction to that, I'll say that sin or that problem that you have in your life, you know, I really believe that, you know, you need to, you know, see if you really have a good relationship with the Lord and what's going on there to check that. What do you think, Shane?
Yeah, I agree with you. Everyone lately that I've been speaking about the kingdom of heaven and about God and witnessing to them, they want me to prove it to them that there's, you know, reasons why they have horrible thoughts, why they have perverted thoughts, why they sin and all these things. They just think that it's part of them and who they are, and they believe it's them, and they think I'm crazy. And then I show it to them in the Word of God, and then a lot of them, actually we get further with it, and I do deliverance on them, and they see the thing come out of them, and they feel the difference and the change, and not only in their mind but in their body after they've been delivered and Jesus has done that for them.
Correct. Amen. And one of the biggest things is that we think that's a part of our life, that, hey, we just got a problem, you know. But, you know, the Word says that if you have really accepted Christ into your heart and he's your Savior and he's made you new and you've been baptized, but you still have an issue, that issue is not you. There's something going on within you that's holding this issue in. And there's a lot of people that don't want to admit that. They'll say, you know, it's your mind, it's just what you're feeding your mind. And it could be that. It could be that you're feeding your demon, I'll say. You know, you're just growing this thing, and it's just getting bigger in you. But I really believe if you have that relationship with the Lord, and another way is, I really believe, is if you have a relationship with the Lord, it don't feed whatever is in you, and these things leave, or your mind gets renewed and you don't draw these things to you. And we're talking a little bit about deliverance here too tonight, because me and Shane does deliverance and we do healing. So, you know, that's going to be something that's we're going to talk about any time that we're preaching. So, it's very, very important for you to know who you are in Christ. And when you're not thinking like who you should be in Christ, you know it's not you. There's a problem that you have in your life, or there's a situation that's opening this door that is not legal to a Christian. It's not there. There's something that you allowed into you, and it has took captive, or not, it's not captured you, but it's took residence in you, and you're falling into this. And when you really get away from the Lord, you deal with these things, and that's what the commandments do. The commandments takes you out of that. You have to do this, you have to do this, you got to take that. It takes us out of that, but it doesn't mean that Jesus died to the law. When he died, that doesn't mean it makes the law valid, you know, invalid anymore. It just gives you something there. Now, he fulfilled the law. He broke the curse of the law, but the law still shows you how you should walk as a Christian. I mean, because Jesus walked in perfection and in holiness, we should learn, and we should want to live in perfection and holiness. We're supposed to be different than the world. We can't look at the world and say, hey, we look just like the world, but we're Christians. You're supposed to be different than the world. You're supposed to be an example for the world, not to reflect the world. You see?
Right.
That's just the way that is. And if you're living an example of the world and you're trying to put a label on yourself as you're Christian, you're not really living the example that Jesus Christ did, because Jesus lived a life of holiness. He taught holiness. He took some of the worst sinners that ever walked earth. They didn't know the scriptures. I mean, they was taught the Torah and stuff when they was children, like most of us was. We grew up in church. We learned all this stuff. But they fell in sin. They didn't follow the Torah no more. They didn't even talk to God no more. They didn't really have nothing to do with those Pharisees, because they was all about money, as we talk about church today. So they cussed and went on, and they was fishermen. That's just how they were. But Jesus picked these folks to bring into his flock, to teach them how God really was, to teach them about the new covenant, to teach them who he was to them and what he could do for them, and to take them out of this sin. And the love that he poured to these guys, no matter how they were, no matter what they said to him, he still loved on these guys. And he showed how to walk out these commandments. He didn't talk about it. He walked it out in front of them. And that's what really changed their life, is the walk that he did. That's how us Christians need to do. We need to walk this out as Christ did. Christ didn't talk about all, you know, you're doing this. Now, he said a few things to show the Pharisees what they was doing wrong, and he was always against the Pharisees. But he tried to walk out and love on people and walk out this holiness where we can know what to do, and plus walk out, you know, in the power of God and deliver, you know, deliver people from demons and all this stuff. But one thing that Jesus did say to, you know, the people about deliverance, he said, there is nothing that Satan has in common with me. There's nothing that Satan has in common with me that he can find anything in him. So when you're going in deliverance, you're going right, when Satan can find something in you that is of him, which is unholiness, you have problems. He has a connection to you. He can manipulate you. But if there's nothing in you of Satan at all, no sin, no habit, no nothing like that, then he has no ties to you. That's why the Lord wants to make you holy like him, where you and Satan have no ties. And that's something that we're walking out every day. I walk that out every day. Shane walks that out every day. Every preacher in the world walks that out every day. Every Christian in the world walks that out every day. So that's something that we're trying to walk out. We're trying to walk out what Jesus walked. But the law, the law itself has been broke. He broke it by dying on the cross and breaking that for us. And as long as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and our heart and Savior, and believe in that, and knowing him as your Lord and Savior, and trusting in him, not just going to church and because I sit in a building and I'm holy now and I'm saved. No, relationship-wise, if you believe in him and you trust in him truly in your heart, you're saved and you won't go to hell. But he didn't only die for that. He died for you to walk like he did, to manifest like he did, because only thing you're going to do is send people to hell walking like the world. It's the only thing you're going to do. I don't care how many people that you heal once a day or how many people that you brought to the Lord, I can tell you there's many more that's fallen into hell because of you. When you walk that holiness out, you try to walk that holiness out. Even Paul had issues with that. He said, the things that I do, the things that I want to do, I don't do. But the things I don't want to do, I do. But I'm walking this out. I'm trying to get better. And all through his life, he gets better. He gets better at his walk. And I'm talking about a guy that knew the Torah, that knew all the law, and tried to fulfill the law. And the law smeared everything that he did in his face every time. But when Jesus released him from that law, he could live a better life. But he still had that law ingrained in him. If you know somebody's went to a law by the church that's really smeared, you know, got the law into you or really smeared into the congregation, you'll see more sins in that congregation you ever saw in your life because they're trying to live out the law that they can't fulfill. Only one that could fulfill that law was Jesus Christ. But the one that's living in holiness, and but the one that's living in holiness, the one that's living in holiness, that's loving Jesus, Jesus is turning them into him. You're wanting to walk out. It ain't by living your life is not trying to abide the law. It's trying to be an example of Jesus. You went from the law, from trying to look like the law, you went to looking like Jesus. So we went from with all these regulations to a man to act and look like and act and promote and show. So we went from words to a living being that walked this out for us to act and reflect like the Son of God. Now through his blood he made us all sons and daughters, adopted sons and daughters. But through his walk on this earth, he walked as the example. So my question to you tonight, are you an example of Jesus Christ? Are you walking out that example? You don't have a law anymore. You have a guy that you got to reflect. You have to be example. You went from a stone tablet to a flesh and blood guy that was walking fully as God here on earth and died for you. You have to be the example. He was the example for you. Can you walk out the example of what he showed, what I'm trying to say here? So we went from a tablet to a person that we've got to imitate. So now we're trying to imitate Jesus. We're trying to look like Jesus. We're trying to speak like Jesus. We're trying to love like Jesus. We're trying to deliver people from Satan like Jesus. We're trying to heal people like Jesus. That's what we're doing. We're trying to be a example of Jesus. We're trying to be a good example. Now, a lot of us ain't that good of an example, I'm going to tell you. I know I stumble times. I fall sometimes. But I pull myself back up, and I do have the great teacher that Jesus Christ sent on this earth, the Holy Spirit, to pick me up and lead me. And I'll say way before Jesus came, the Israelites didn't have that Holy Spirit. They only had Moses. Now, since Jesus has poured out Holy Spirit amongst all flesh, we have the teacher now to lead us. So you have a teacher to lead you to walk as a son and daughter in Christ. And that's very important. Go ahead, Shane.
That's awesome, man. I almost feel like I'm here because this sermon's for me. I really enjoyed it.
It's a lot of stuff there, man. It's even stuff that I didn't know I was going to say, bro.
Yeah.
It's like God takes what you're going to say, and he takes the word, and then he starts, you know, revealing this stuff through you and teaching you and letting you understand stuff yourself that the Holy Spirit uses your mouth, because, as you know, we're all nothing but vessels for the Holy Spirit to speak through, and it's very unique what God can do. But we're going to go right into a break. We will be right back. We're going to go right into Restless Pursuit. It's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the relentless pursuit. Like I was saying earlier, it ain't like, you know, you have to say three Hail Marys before you actually, you know, find the Lord. He says, knock and the door will open. Knock and the door will open. That means if you're looking for the Lord, he will come. If you're pursuing the Lord, he will show up. He is always there. There's no works that you can do to find the Lord. You ask and you receive. You more you pursue him, the more you pull him to you. The more you want him with you, the more he will be with you. Now, Jesus is always with you, but a lot of times our perception is not always seeing him because our mind is so many different places. Like some people's minds could be at work, can be with the children, it can be everywhere else, but with the Lord. But when we take that time, as I know that Shane does sometimes in his truck or whatever, and some people does, you know, do in their automobiles, a lot of times our closets is mostly our vehicles because we're by ourselves, we're driving, we got some more, you know, we have, you know, personal time with the Lord, and he really, really touches you at times. But just that pursuit of spending that little time with the Lord is very important in your life. And one thing that I was talking about a while ago is, you know, scripture. Do you have scripture in you? Do you study the word? Do you have roots in the church? I mean, do you have the word in you? Do you study it? Do you have to memorize scripture by name and number and know how many scriptures? And one of the biggest things that I saw Jesus had to fight scriptures with was Satan, because when he was up on that temple and Satan was trying to get him to commit suicide or see if the angel was going to pick him up, or, you know, he's trying to do crazy things with the Lord. And then the Lord was fighting him with scripture because the enemy knew the scripture just as well as he did, because the enemy was watching when it was written. So it's just like us when we use scripture to go to touch people and have to know all these numbers and stuff. A lot of times it's other Christians that we have to know this because they're in pursuit of a battle of the scriptures, or, you know, the battle of the minds, you got battle of the scriptures. But when you have the scripture in you and it's in your heart means that you know the story. It's like the thousands of Asians is over in Asia that has no Bible, but they know the stories because they heard their preacher. They only have one Bible in that whole tunnel that they study in because they cannot be caught teaching the scripture, but they're in a tunnel and they're learning the word of God, and they've heard these stories over and over again. And the glory of God falls over this congregation, and they fall in the fire of God, and they get saved and delivered, all type of things. But the scriptures are so deep in them that they know these stories, and they can tell you these stories. They don't know John 6 and all this stuff, but they know the stories that's in the scriptures. Even way past them, when the Lord was walking this earth, the Israelites knew the stories. They knew what the stories of the Bible. They knew what the stories of the word said because they was taught. Nobody carried a Bible back in those days. It was just scrolls. They had to learn the stories. So if you have learned the story of the word and you've been putting those words into your heart and you've been studying this, that's what counts. As long as you know the word and you're studying these words, it doesn't matter how many scriptures you got to memorize on. It does matter that you have the word, putting the word in you. I mean, that's very important. What do you think, Shane? Shane. Amen.
I can completely relate to what you're talking about because I grew up in a Christian home. My father was a preacher, so I've been a PK ever since I was young. And I heard all the stories. I learned all about, you know, every story in the Bible. And there were times when I had scriptures memorized and then, you know, joined the military in my life and went my own way. And now that I've come back to Christ, every morning I spend time with God, but every evening I spend time reading the Bible with my little family. I have two kids and a beautiful wife. And as we read through these stories and these scriptures, I'm amazed at how much of this is in me, because they start the scripture and I can finish it. And But you're right about having it in you. Even if you can't quote all these scriptures, but you walk it out and you live it. You don't have to quote scriptures every time that you're praying for someone. You just do it. You just pray for them, and you'll still see miracles happen.
Amen. Amen. That's what's so important, is to have the word in you, have it to take place in your heart. And I never remember the Lord saying you've got to have Isaiah 26 and you've got to know every verse. I never know the Lord to say that, but I do know a lot of religious, you know, people and Pharisaic people that do say that. But I really believe that you need to read the word and get the word in you and get, you know, established in you. It's very important. And, you know, and get these stories. Know these stories about the Lord. Stay in the Gospels. I tell everybody to stay in the Gospels. Know the Gospels. Get the stories of the Gospels, because each disciple saw Jesus in another way, but it was all the same stories, but in another. And some of them saw all of it, and there are some things that in his walk that they didn't see. So what Matthew didn't see and Mark did see, you'll read that story. And you'll see different stories that has more of a story to it, because that disciple was there through all of it, and that one disciple was only there through half of it. So that's why it's so important to read every one of the Gospels and see what all the disciples had to say, how Jesus' life was. It's very important, because you can get every perspective of what was seen when the Lord was here on this earth. And every perspective is very important to your walk, because like I said, you're representing the Lord and you're trying to be example of the Lord. So to be example of the Lord, you have to know how it is, know what he did, know how he walked, know what he talked about, know how he lived, know how he treated people. You have to know these things. So the gospel is very important. And I'm not saying, you know, dish all the rest of the Bible, because, you know, the Old Testament's very important. You got to know how the world was created. You got to know how all the prophets, about their lives, what they went through, and they all have stories that's very important to your life, and through, you know, trials and tribulations they went through. And maybe some of the old prophets has, you know, trials that you're going through. You know, you get to learn the Father through that. The Father is very important. You get to learn how important holiness was to him, how important the Lord Jesus Christ was to him, and how bad you needed Jesus. So the whole Bible is very important. Then you read, go all the way to further to Galatians and the Corinthians, and read what Paul said about Jesus. Now, Paul knew Jesus, but then the Holy Spirit had to teach him more about Jesus, and Peter had to teach him more about Jesus, because Peter was with him all the time. He was beside of the Lord all through. So Peter had to teach him some things about the Lord that Paul didn't, because Paul wasn't there the whole time. He was too busy chasing them, if you know what I'm saying. But Paul, which is Saul, is really basically like us, because we ain't saw Jesus physically, but the Holy Spirit is teaching us, you know, Jesus through the scriptures and through him. So we have to be taught by the Holy Spirit himself and through the word, as Paul did. So he's a little bit more, I'll say, somebody that we can look on, because he is kind of in the same shape that we're in. So we can learn from, he's like a brother to us. Paul's like a brother to us. He's teaching us and showing us how to walk this out as somebody that's not seen the Christ, actually physically saw the Christ. We might saw him in spirit and stuff. And well, Paul did see Christ one time, and it was on that road when he, you know, transformed him into a Christian. But yeah, he's a very good teacher in teaching you how to become a Christian, and the walk and all that's very important. Now, Shane, what type of miracles have you saw lately, brother?
Let's go back to Friday. So I saw a really cool one on Friday. One of my friends, he owns a cabinet making shop. And so we walk into his cabinet making shop because he was going to build a drawer for me for one of my projects. And so he took the measurements down, and then he called over a guy that was going to build it. And he said, "All right, here's the measurements. Can you build this for Shane?" He says, "Sure will." So I look at him and I said, "Hey, what can I help you with?" And he thought, you know, wonder what this guy's talking about. I said, you have any pain in your body? And he goes, me? Yeah, I always have pain. I live with it, but it's tolerable. I could live with it. And I said, what if I told you you didn't have to live with it anymore because Jesus already paid the price when he took stripes on his back to take that pain from you and that he wants to heal you? And he looked at me like I was crazy. So I said, let me pray for you real quick. Where's your worst pain? He said, it's in my back. So I said, all right, put your fingers where your back hurts the most so I can see where that is. And I said, what level of pain do you have in your back right now? He said, from a scale of 1 to 10, he said a 7. So I go, okay. So I started praying for his back. And I always start my prayers with Heavenly Father, we worship you, we love you, we thank you for this man because you love him. We know that you love him because you created him. And I said, now I command this back, I command every disc, every ligament, every vertebrate, every muscle, tendon, every nerve right now in Jesus' name. I command you to be healed. And as I'm waiting, just a couple seconds, he opens his eyes and I go, you feel something? And he says, yeah, I feel that. And I said, now watch this. I command all the pain to leave this back right now in Jesus' name. Pain, go. So all the pain starts to go down to about a level 2. And then I said, do you know if one of your legs is shorter than the other one? And he's like, yeah, I was told it was. So I said, okay, sit over here and see if I can guess which leg it is. So I sit him down and bring his feet up, and it's obvious that his right leg was shorter than the other one. I said, it's this leg, right? And he said, yeah, it sure is. So I said, I want you to stare at your heels right now because I want you to see Jesus grow your leg out right now, and I want you to know it's him that's doing it and not me. So I said, in Jesus' name, right leg, come out. And it grew out right in front of him, quick enough for him to see it. And his mouth just dropped open. He was just so excited that he's seeing this happening. So then he stands up, and all his pain in his back is gone. But the story gets better because I said, what else do you have that's wrong with you? He said, I got in a car accident, and I messed up my neck. And he goes, my neck hurts. I can't turn my head very far this way, and it really hurts all the time. And he's like, right now it's about a level 5 if I put it on a scale from 1 to 10. So I said, okay. I said, repeat after me, say, Holy Spirit. He says, Holy Spirit. And I said, fill me. And he says, fill me. And I said, if you're real, I said, prove it to me. So he goes, if you're real, Holy Spirit, prove it to me. So I said, Holy Spirit, I release your power right now to fill this man. All of a sudden, his body starts shaking uncontrollably, and his eyes start tearing. And I said, you feel that? And he starts crying. And I said, right now in Jesus' name, I speak to this bat, to this neck. I speak to, he told me which vertebrates they were, like a C2, C3, and C5, something like that. I commanded them to be healed and all his pain to go. And all the pain left his neck, and he just wraps his arms around me. Now, this is a biker dude with a ponytail, down his back, with tattoos everywhere, real rough dude, and he's hugging me. And I just met this guy, 10 minutes prior. But to see Jesus change somebody's life in 10 minutes is what I love about the gospel. It's what I love Amen. About walking it out and being like Jesus.
Amen. That's the biggest thing is just, seeing Jesus change people's lives. It's better than just trying to, teach it and show it, teach it and talk about it, but actually going out and doing this and seeing it transform people's lives and bringing people into the kingdom. That's the very important thing. And, I can't tell you how many people I've saw the Lord change and transform people. I mean, I've saw people healed. I've saw blood diseases go away. I've saw people's legs pop into place. I've saw blood clots, disappear. And we had this one lady back a year ago that she had a blood clot that was right at her heart. And she's getting ready to go into surgery next day, but she was at home and she was allowing me to maintain her yard, and I was mowing her grass and all that. And before we left that, I actually got to pray for her, and I got to curse the blood clot and all that stuff. So the next day they went there and they couldn't find no blood clot. It was gone. And what would actually happen, what would actually happen was if it was gone, it went to her heart, she would have been dead. So since it was gone and it actually completely moved out of her body and gave her freedom, you know, it was like amazing. And that was one testimony that was very awesome to see. And it's just many ones like that. I mean, I can't tell you how many people got delivered. I had a brother-in-law went on a camping trip with me, and he had a real problem with his family, and come to find out that he had more of a demonic hold it was on him to his family, or somebody was manipulating him. And we took him in there the very last day we was camping. I prayed for him. Me and my wife prayed for him. We cast the spirit of Jezebel off of him. We cut all the ties Jezebel had on him, and he went home. He was a different man. His family did not control him. Now, he still loved his family and all that stuff, but they did not control him, manipulate him no more, and they try to figure out what happened. So normally how, you know, a Jezebel spirit is, they will turn on you and try to put the fangs in you and the claws. So that didn't even work anymore. I mean, God set him free from bondage. He's living his life better today. He loves his wife more today. There's all type of changes that's going in this brother's life. And I'm just amazed where you would see him. He'd look like he was depressed all the time. But when God set him free from that bondage, it turned his life around. He even got a raise at his job. He's making more money. He's happier now. I mean, all type of unique things is going on in his life. And he's just seeing everything from a different point of view, because his family was in complete control of him. And I'm not saying anybody should be against their family by no means, but when they're controlling your life and telling you where to go and you can't do this, and you're a grown man and you have a wife, you have a life of your own, but your family's still controlling you, and they're, you know, then they put you down and try to destroy you. That's not biblical, and that's not healthy. So when somebody's under that, a lot of times going through a deliverance will set them free, because a lot of times the Jezebel spirit that's involved in that. And a lot of people don't understand this stuff until they actually experience that. When you go through this deliverance and you see this freedom from this type of attack, you see the difference in your life. You see things differently. You have no stronghold on you no more. It's like you're free. So he got his life freed. He's got his wife back. He got, you know, a lot of depression's gone. I mean, he got freed from that, and that was amazing. And to this day, I saw him yesterday, and it's amazing to see what God's doing in his life. So it's just, you know, night and day. And I mean, there's all type of different stories that I saw God, you know, just change people, and, you know, just by hearing the word and getting prayed for. I mean, we had a brother that's been on the radio show with me before. He had a growth on his side, and we went to his house and prayed for him. And we was praying for the cancer or whatever, and I actually prayed for his side. And his wife turned out pretty good after that ordeal. But we prayed for his side, and that was like the least thing on the roster for the day. We was praying for the bigger things, just not for that. So we prayed for that growth to leave off his side, and the growth dried up the next night or the next morning, and he got up out of bed, went into the bathroom, couldn't find it. It just disappeared. No medicine, no nothing. And we was like, praise God. So it's just things that Jesus can do for you. He can do the same thing, and it's always awesome to just go out there and be a example and walk as Jesus did and see what Jesus can do in your life. Ain't that right, Shane?
That's right, man. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Is there anything else that you have saw in your walk?
Me? Oh, man. I'm coming up on almost 500 miracles in 2.5 years. But I see them every day because I search. It's almost like I'm hunting.
Amen.
I would call it
Amen.
More like poaching. Because with Jesus, he always wins.
Amen. 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 And I really feel to myself, the reason that he don't win sometimes is because we got in the way. I really believe that. I really believe that sometimes while things don't happen, it's because we're not fully seen the full picture, or we're out of his will, or we just got completely in the way. So it's, I mean, everybody is supposed to be healed. Everybody's healed. I mean, God wants everybody healed. But, you know, there's some things that you've got to know, you know, hey, am I here for the right reasons? Am I here to chase healings, or am I here for this person and the compassion? And as we know is when Jesus walked on this earth, he had compassion for people. When compassion came over to him, that's the time that you would see miracles happen, because he had compassion for the guy that was trying to crawl to that pool that would, you know, heal people once a year or twice a year. And an angel would stir the water. And when the angel would stir the water, all the, the disfigured people and the people that had physical problems would get in the pool and get healed. But this one guy just couldn't get there fast enough because his legs just wouldn't move. So Jesus had compassion for this guy and prayed for him. And he said, stand up. Me, stand up? I've been trying to get in this pool for years, and I can't stand up. Pick up your mat and stand up. And he stood up, did just what the Lord told him. Now, he didn't, you know, pray for him, and the guy said, well, I'm going to try to go to the pool anyway, like half the Christians do when they get prayed for and they go to their medicines right off. This dude automatically stood up and walked away. He was completely healed, a healing that he was needing for 3 to 4 years. He instantly got healed by Jesus Christ right there. So we got to understand, you know, when God is working on us, do we get in the way or do we accept it? You know, that's very important. Do we get in the way or do we accept it? And that there's a lot of stories I could teach on this, and I'm just not going there because I've, you know, on this walk, I've saw a lot of stories. I've saw a lot of things happen over a period of time. But the very important thing is when Jesus, like a brother, like Shane or whoever, and somebody's walking in the power of God and they pray for you, accept it, walk with it and see what God can do for you. It may happen there. It may happen the next day, but it will happen because God's word never goes void. God's word never goes void. So accept that prayer and see what happens. Go ahead, Shane.
Would you like to pray now for some people that are listening?
Sure. Go ahead, okay. Man.
Like Stan said, walk with it. I want everyone that has any pain in their legs, their back, their feet, anywhere in their lower body, I want you, as we begin to pray here, to stand up as best you can. Don't do anything dangerous. But stand up and just begin to take a step and a step of faith. Right now that Jesus is going to heal you. So right now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are and what you've done, and we accept the healings that you've paid for when you took those stripes on your back. So right now, in Jesus' name, I appropriate the healings of everyone listening to this. In Jesus' name, I speak to all muscles, all tendons, ligaments, all nerves, all bones, all cartilage right now, every cell in these human bodies. At the sound of my voice right now, I wash your body in the blood of Jesus right now. In Jesus' name, I command, be healed. Be healed. Be completely restored. All the way back to God's original design right now. In Jesus' name. And I speak to all the pain. All pain,
amen.
I command you go now. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Right now, I'm feeling right now there's somebody out there has some type of confusion going on. There's something that's been going on. And right now, I command the spirit of confusion to leave. I bind and rebuke the spirit off this person. If you're that person, just put your hand on your head like, you know, hey, I've got issues here. So, you know, in Jesus' name, I command that spirit of confusion to leave. I bind and rebuke it, command it, go to the abyss now in Jesus' name. Migraines, I command migraines to leave. I bind and rebuke the spirit of migraine. I command it to leave now. I command all pain to leave now in Jesus' name. All pain from a 10 down to a 0 now in Jesus' name. I speak all migraines to leave now in Jesus' name. Arthritis, I curse the arthritis at the root and at the seed. I command this arthritis to leave now. I bind the spirit of arthritis and pain and the spirit of unworthiness. I bind all these spirits together, command them to leave and go to the abyss now in Jesus' name. Take us authority over all these spirits now in Jesus' name. And right this time, if you've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, I ask you to say this prayer with me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I accept you in my life as my Savior. I hand all of my sins to you. I repent for all the sins that I've ever done. I repent for every sin that I've done. I hand it to you and your cross, Lord Jesus. I accept that you died on the cross for me. I accept that you rose on the third day for me. And I accept you into my heart for now and in eternity, Lord. I accept you in my heart for now and eternity, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, live in my heart forever. Just say that. Lord Jesus, just live in my heart forever. Now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer to Lord Jesus that just came into your life, I ask you to find a ministry nearby, a good church, a good Bible-believing church nearby, and go by and get baptized. I really believe you need to get baptized in water. That's very crucial to your walk. And go to a good Bible study. That's always, awesome to do, too, is go to a good Bible study. And I want to thank each and everybody that listened to me this day and learning about, how the law is important to a Christian also. And how is, what is the law to us, too? So I'm glad everybody got to listen to us today. And I want to thank Shane for coming on tonight. Thanks, Shane.
Thank you, Stan. It's great to be here.
Amen. And I would like everybody to check out Shane's page on Facebook. It's called the Healing Light, the Healing Light Ministries of Florida. And just check that out. And just check him out on Facebook and like his page and, send him a message or whatever. Just let him know that you're there. And if you need anybody to pray for you down there in Florida, he's always open, and just send him a message and maybe he can call you or pray for somebody, in a hospital that you may need him. We're always open for that. And my page is actually Healing Light Ministries. And you can check that out. We have all the shows. We have the shows on both pages. So if you don't find my page and you find his, you can find the show there. But we also have the Healing Light channel, which is on Roku. We have over 18 to 20 ministries. It's teaching you how to walk in the power of God. It's teaching you about sonship. It's teaching you about deliverance. It's teaching you all this stuff that's very crucial to your walk in Christ. And we also talk about, just sharing that channel too with others that has Roku, and let them know that channel is actually available for them, and they can, click on that thing and just subscribe to it. And it's free. It's a free channel. There's no charge. It ain't like Netflix or any of those other channels, but it is free. And it will help you grow in the Lord. And we really appreciate you to just go and check that page out. And we do got Val Wolf. It's on there. She's a deliverance minister out of South Africa. And she has a very unique anointing in that deliverance. So go check that channel out and get to see, how she walks in anointing, and check out, how to walk in that sonship. It's very important to know how to walk in that sonship. Go check that out today. And I'd like to say God bless every one of y'all, and we will see you the next time.